What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Moving to Florida show. I am your host, Judson, along with co-host Mohit Badlani. Mo, you have a different background there.
Yeah, I got a plain slate background, plain white wall.
For those of you guys that don't know, when we record, Mo and I can see each other, though the video is not recorded. It does help with communication some, so we don't talk over each other like we just did.
Exactly.
So Mo has a bit of a big different background today, and we'll tell you about that here in a few minutes.
So I've moved.
Yep.
Yeah, guys, I've moved. I've sold my home. I no longer have a house that I'm living in. Well, I'm in an apartment now, but yeah, we sold our home. We were getting a really good deal on it, and we actually earlier this year or late last year, there was an area that we were looking at, me and my wife, that we wanted to purchase a home at, and we just needed bigger space. We went from a 2,200 square foot to a 3,400 square foot, and it's still building. We're not done building yet. I don't think it's going to be ready until like December. They said December, anywhere from December to February. But we just took advantage of what the market was right now. It's such a hot seller's market. We're like, you know, should we put it up for sale now, or should we put it up for sale, you know, as we get closer to build out? So we ended up deciding to sell now and move into an apartment, which will still save us a few hundred bucks a month. And well, the good thing about the apartment that we chose, they have a stipulation where if you purchase a home with a local builder, you only have to pay 1 month's penalty of rent, and that's it. So we took advantage of it, and here we are.
Okay, so that explains things a little bit more. We hadn't had a chance to discuss it and why, you know, you chose to go ahead and sell the house and move into the apartment. So even saving a little bit on basically what your monthly payment versus your rent. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Okay. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. We got into a nice two bedroom. Now the girls have to sleep in one bedroom together. So they're kind of going to get annoyed with each other for the next 6-7 months or however long it takes.
Well, hey, Mo, let's come back to that. You definitely want to hear about your whole experience, like moving into an apartment and all of that stuff. But we do have a few other programming notes that I wanted to get to first.
Let's go for it.
So first of all, we did miss a week. So we apologize, guys. But I think, in a sense, we just explained that, right?
Right.
Sorry, guys. So, well, and it's not just that. We are both Florida licensed real estate agents by trade, and we are in the spring, I almost said seller's market, which I guess would be accurate. Right. We're in the spring season of the home selling market, which is very much, by the way, a seller's market. Definitely go back and listen to our last episode a couple of weeks ago if you want to hear more about the craziness that's been going on. So anyway, we did miss a week recording there. We apologize, guys. We're going to try to get back on our weekly schedule, but it has been, even besides Mo's move, it's been crazy to try to line our schedules up and actually do a recording. So hopefully we'll be back on track soon.
Yes, we will.
So another programming note, we have got a brand new way for you guys to reach out to us. We've got a brand new Moving to Florida hotline, I think, right? Moving to Florida show hotline. Is that what we're calling it?
We got a hotline. We got a hotline bling.
That's right. So basically, we have a phone number set up. If you call it, it's going to go straight to voicemail. So you can call us anytime, day or night. Leave us a voicemail if you have questions, or if you want to shoot us a text, that's okay too. That number is 407. That is a Central Florida area code, by the way. So 407-900-5859. Like I said, you can call or text that. And thank you very much, Mo, for getting that set up for us.
Sounds like a plan. Yes. This is going to be another platform for you guys to reach out to us at any time. So I know people like to text and or leave voicemails. So we decided we go ahead and get a phone number set up for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So one more time, I'll give you that number, 407-900-5859. By the way, we do also have a Facebook group that we set up recently. It is slowly growing. We're starting to get a little bit of activity in there. I think we need to set up like a quick link or something like that to get to the group, maybe to get to our other resources. But right now, the easiest way is to just go on Facebook and search The Moving to Florida Show. Got to make sure you have the show in there. But The Moving to Florida Show, you're going to see our Facebook Facebook page pop up, but also our Facebook group. So go in, request to join the group. You can connect with us there. We're just going to talk about moving to Florida all day, answer your questions, and help you become Floridian, basically.
Yes, let's do it.
So, all right. So, Mo, back to your move. You know, I asked if you were comfortable talking about this on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, what I was kind of curious about is your experience renting an apartment, basically, because, you know, we are both realtors. We help people mostly buy and sell homes. So right. We don't have a lot of experience with the apartment side of it. So I was just kind of curious, you know, both your experience actually going in and renting an apartment, which you already told us that that they have a program where if you're building new construction, you can terminate the lease early. So that's cool. That's correct. Good to know. And is that something that's common in apartments?
A lot of the apartments that are near new builds or new construction, they do have that program set up. But I mean, it could be almost anywhere, but it all depends on where you decide you want to be in. So if there's a part of the city that you want to be in and you want to move into an apartment while your home is being built or anything like that. So always, always, always talk to the leasing office and they will get you all that information. If it's an addendum you need and they agree with it, go for it. Do what you got to do. It's just like, I would say, renting a house, you can add addendums to it to your lease, so you can modify something. But I would always, always consult with a real estate attorney to get that
excellent
taken care
advice.
Of. Yeah, so they can get the verbiage correct. So we don't want you guys to be in a position where you put something else on the addendum and it comes to you and bites you in the backside later on. So always, always consult with a real estate attorney. It's going to cost you a couple $100, but it's well worth it because then you would, you know, you'd go into litigation and you don't want that. So we wanted to be in the same neighborhood ish type of thing, so a name same city, so our kids stay in the same school district. So we didn't want to pull them out of the school, because if we do move into our apartment for more than I think 2 months or 3 months, they're going to have to pull them out of school and put them into a new district for that school or new public school, because both my kids go to public school. So we wanted to stay in the same school district. That's why we decided to go to an apartment that had the same schools that my kids would go to, so we didn't have to pull them out.
So I'm just speculating here, but it probably didn't help that they are building two monstrous apartment complexes right outside your previous neighborhood, right?
That actually did help.
Okay, so I'm curious, what kind of amenities do you see in these apartments? Because, and obviously this is not going to be all apartments, but it does seem that the apartments are getting a lot more in on the amenities, just like communities are starting to get more, you know, nicer pools, fitness centers, things like that. Are you seeing that in the apartments as well?
A lot of the new apartments have a lot of great new amenities. They make it feel like you're staying in a resort more than an apartment. Granted, I mean, you'll be staying here long term, but it's very like resort feel. It gives it a resort feeling to this complex. It has like, you know, huge swimming pool. They have a fitness center. They have like a small gathering room, meeting room. They have like things that go on with the kids. Like they have movie night by the pool. They have food trucks coming here almost on a daily basis. So it gives you a little bit of a community feel as well as a resort feel. So that's something that I had to get over on the kids is, hey, we're going into a resort for the next 8 months. So
there you go. Sell it.
Sell it. You got to find a way to sell it to the kids. So they're like, oh, that'll be fun. Yada, yada, yada. And then that's exactly what a lot of the new places have. And even inside the apartments, they have very good, I would say, countertops, appliances. They have like very modern look to them. They're again the very grays and the whites, and so they kept up with the trend. So a lot of the new apartment complexes have kept up with trend. I don't know if the older apartments that are renovating are doing the same thing. Some older apartments are not. A lot of this apartment, I'm looking at the apartment right now because I'm sitting on the couch. I had to change the studio. So it's very like welcoming feeling and also a very modern touch to it. So that's about it about my apartment move. If you have any questions on how to do relocation, you can always reach out to Judson and myself, and we can help you with that. While your home is being built, we can probably get you into a short-term rental area. I know they have short-term townhouses and homes that you can do that. It's outside of Orange County. You're going to have to go to like maybe Osceola, Polk, Lake County, somewhere near that your home is being built. We'll definitely try to find you something that you guys can stay in there short term while your home's being built.
Right. Well, hey, that does bring up another question actually for me. So you mentioned that they have basically a thing in the lease where you can end it early if your home's completed, if you're building. Would this also work for maybe somebody that says, hey, you know, I want to move to Florida, rent initially and then buy, but maybe they're not doing new construction, but they, you know, they know that they want to buy a home. Do you think they might have a program for that too?
I'm sure some of the areas do. I did not confirm that with the apartment complex that I'm in right now. They only mentioned that if you were going to build with a local builder, then you could do that. So I didn't ask if you were purchasing a resale home while you're here. So I know they do have two different forms of short-term rental here. One was, you know, if you're building with a new builder, or you can do an 8-month lease. So it was either 8 months or 12 months.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, hey, speaking of renting, that does kind of get us to our topic of the day now that we're like 10 minutes into recording already. So, you know, when we brought this one up, we felt like this was something important that we probably needed to talk about because it's something we've been seeing more and more of lately. And that is rental scams and, you know, what you need to watch out for, because just like we said, we've been seeing these more and more. And I know that some people are aware of them, but it does seem too that people are getting caught in these every day. So we just wanted to let you guys know kind of what you need to look out for, you know, as far as scams when renting, and just to help you guys, you know, have a good idea. And we do have a little bit of other thing as far as purchasing. There's a little bit of fraud out there too, so we'll hit that on the backside as well. So yeah, let's dive into that, Mo. In your experience, you know, kind of what do you see? What are the big warning signs that somebody should look out for to make sure that the rental that they're looking at is legitimate and not somebody that's just trying to take their money?
The first thing is the price. You got to take a look at the price. Bingo. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. So if you're seeing a nice, you know, 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath, and it's renting for $1,000, that's a big warning sign, because the rest of the homes you're looking at that size may be big, higher in price, which is usually around $1 a square foot. So just take that, gauge that. Whatever homes that you see will be on average of $1 a square foot. So if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the number one warning sign. And we see this a lot. I would say, you know, a second to this is most of the scams, it seems to me, are taking place on Facebook these days.
Yes.
Facebook Marketplace. I've seen listings that, you know, I mean, they've got all of the photos because they've just basically gone to a real listing and they copied the photos and they've posted their own ad. And literally, I've seen these where it's $1,000 less than the actual rent for the place.
Right.
And, you know, I think maybe before we, you know, dive into this further, we should talk about kind of what the end game is here. What is the actual scam? Primarily, what it is it's somebody posing as, hey, I'm going to rent this house out to you. And, you know, probably the first one could be, most rentals and legitimate rentals are going to charge an application fee. Usually that's going to be anywhere from 30 to 50, maybe as much as $100 per person for an application fee. So, you know, if this is not the legitimate like owner, landlord, property manager of that home, maybe their intent is just to steal that application fee. You know, you might only be out a couple $100, but they might get you for a lot more because they might have you pay that couple $100 and say, hey, congratulations, you passed the background check. We need to get your security deposit and first month's rent, or security deposit, first month's, last month's, whatever it is. You know, that could add up to thousands of dollars. And that it's happened to people. Unfortunately, people have fallen for that and sent their rent, and they don't find out until they show up with the moving truck. You know, they show up at the house, you know, maybe this person's told them there's going to be a lockbox with a key, or they're going to meet them there or whatever. And, you know, and then they find out it's not legitimate. Right. And worse than that, maybe somebody else has already moved into the house. I've actually heard of this happening. Somebody else has already moved into the house and someone else shows up and says, hey, you know, I rented this place, but the one they rented from was not legitimate. So, I mean, that's kind of the end game. You know, they're going to take your money. I mean, that's what they're targeting for. So just like Mo said, the number one sign is a low rent price. Be it, you know, $1,000 a month less than what it really should be going for, or even sometimes just several hundred less. I mean, basically what they're doing is they're trying to cast a wide net. You know, they want as many people to respond to them as possible, so they have the best chance of getting somebody that's actually going to fall into the trap.
Agreed. And avoid Facebook. I mean, Facebook, I mean, Marketplace, I mean, call, ask these questions to the person who is listing it on Facebook. But for the most part, if you are looking to buy or rent or anything like that, avoid the Facebook Marketplace, and Craigslist is another one that, yes, that puts up a lot of scams. I'm not trying to call these, you know, social media companies out, but I mean, a lot of them, they don't verify any of this.
Right. That's absolutely the problem. And I mean, the thing is, there are legitimate rental posts on Facebook. There are legitimate ones on Craigslist. Same for Zillow and Realtor.com. And I think there are probably maybe some, you know, fake ones on those websites too, though it does seem to be primarily, like you said, the Facebooks and things like that, where it's not verified as much. Those seems to be the primary, you know, culprits in this.
And always reach out, if you can, to a local realtor who can look this up on the MLS. So when we do have rentals, we try to put them on the MLS. Absolutely. Or we, most of the time, yeah, put them on the MLS to rent out. So reach out to a local realtor for wherever you are looking for a home and verify that with them. They can, I mean, we have MLS access, so we can look it up for you and tell you, hey, if it's legitimate or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And just because it's not on MLS doesn't mean it's legitimate. But I've had clients, you know, that I've been working with, they're looking for a rental and, you know, maybe one pops up that's on one of these sites. And, you know, sometimes, you know, maybe it's just the owner of the property that put it out there. That does happen. Mm-hmm. But usually, you know, a trained eye, we can look at them and verify if it's legitimate or not. I had that happen just the other day and I looked at it and I could tell it was legitimate. And I told my client, hey, look, just realistically, this is just the owner that's put it out there. I'd recommend you reach out to them yourself, because if I reach out, they're going to go, oh, real estate agent, I need to pay them. And they're not going to want to work with me. Whereas you, you know, you're going to have better luck reaching out to them directly. But at least I was able to verify for them, you know, hey, this is a legitimate, yeah, you know, rental. And, right, and maybe, you know, we can talk on this real quick too. It is admittedly hard to get help with a rental. And the reason is, I'll be blunt about it, they don't pay. So, you know, true. It's true. You know, as a real estate agent, you know, if I have somebody coming to me that wants to rent, I'm going to help, because that's what I do. I enjoy helping people. But realistically, I've helped people move into a rental and the fee that I was paid by the landlord or the property manager didn't cover the gas that I burned doing it. You know, I mean, and that's just the sad reality. And that's why it is so hard for people to get help with it. And I think that's also what has facilitated these scams to be able to happen. But, you know, another side of that, something that we are seeing more and more of, is technology has stepped in a way that there are a lot of companies out there, and I'll name some names, like American Homes for Rent and Innovation Homes, Rent Progress. These are all big landlords. They're big property owners. They own a lot of homes, certainly in Florida, I think in the rest of the country too, but they kind of have their own platform. A lot of times they don't list homes on the MLS, but they have a lockbox through either Rently or through different companies where you as a prospective renter can dial a number. You know, you see the listing online, you can call into the number. You do have to enter a credit card. Usually you pay like 99 cents. And that's basically them verifying your ID. And then they send you a code. So you can go show yourself. You don't have to have a real estate agent or anything like that to let you into the home. And it's a great idea. It's great, you know, in theory, and I'm sure it works a lot. But what it has also allowed is these scammers, because that's the homes that I see that are posted the most as scams, it allows these scammers to get access to the home, whether they go and, you know, get access to the home and take that key and copy it. I don't know exactly how they're, you know, doing that, but they can legitimately get you into the home so you can see the home, but then they're not the actual ones that you should be working through. So
we're not trying to give you guys any ideas.
I mean, that's all I can think. You know, I actually did see one of these recently, and I used basically an old Google Voice number I had. I didn't want to call this person with my phone number, but I saw, you know, one of these. I looked at it. It was on Facebook Marketplace, and I went, that looks too good to be true. And I did a little digging, and they actually included the address of the property. So I went and it was not on MLS, but it was owned by one of those big companies that I just mentioned. And it was $2,000 a month, and the scammer had it listed for $1,000 a month, like literally $1,000 less. And so I went, okay, bingo. But I was really curious. We had already talked about doing this podcast, and I was curious what the process was and how it worked. And so I ended up texting back and forth with this person, and, you know, oh, I'm going to meet you. They said they were going to meet me there. And when it got close, I think we were like 15 minutes from the time I was supposed to actually meet this person there, which at that point I was kind of hesitant, because I'm like, I don't know who I'm meeting. And I think I got a message right from them like, oh, hey, I can't meet you today, but they said, when you get there, let me know and I'll send you a code. So I guess they had already lined it up to where they right were going to get the code and then give that to me. So I legitimately would have been able to get in and see the house, but the person I was yeah talking to was not the actual landlord.
Right. You just got to be careful about that too, because if you get that phone call like you just did, you were talking to them back and forth, you never know who you're going to bump into, who that person will be. So you just got to be very, very careful.
That's it. Yeah. Be very careful. Absolutely. And I think, you know, the other thing is we do have so many people moving into Florida from out of state, and a lot of them, I think, you know, they're going, hey, I'm just going to rent a house. It's going to be temporary. I don't necessarily have to see it up front. And they're, you know, I think that's the ones that are probably falling into the trap. So guys listening, just, you know, don't do that. Don't let them take your money, because it happens. Right. And that's why we want to put this warning out. So, you know, not a fun topic, but something that we need to discuss.
Yep, absolutely. We got another fun topic next up. You want to talk about that?
Well, somebody else that wants to take your money. But so, you know, you guys that are planning to buy a home, there are scams out there too that target you guys. So you have to be very careful. The primary thing that, you know, we see and we do have to warn all of our clients about is wire fraud, you know, is real. Yep. Primarily in Florida, and it works different in different places, but primarily in Florida, we don't do real estate lawyers. We have real estate lawyers for many different things, but to buy a home, you don't have to use a lawyer. We use title companies. And those title companies are typically who holds escrow, which is basically your deposit on a house. So, you know, you've looked at a house, you like it, you got under contract, you have to put a deposit down, usually within 3 days. And the title companies are going to send you your wiring instructions, usually via email. But what right happens sometimes is somebody's email gets hacked somewhere along the process, and right, Mr. Hacker sends an email with fake wiring instructions. Yep. So that's kind of how this happens. And it's happened even to, you know, big companies, some pretty well-known real estate brokerages. I've seen articles of large sums of money have been taken via wire fraud in this manner. But the main thing to look for whenever you get an email with wiring instructions, what we tell our clients to do is pick up the phone and call, not to the phone number necessarily that's in that email, but call to the phone number that's on the contract, because we're going to put a phone number on the contract for the title company.
Right.
The phone number that's on, you know, Google, the phone number you've already talked to that title company on, call them on that phone number and verify. Right. And they're used to this, and they're, you know, they're going to tell you, yes, the last four numbers of the account are 1234, or of the routing number, whatever it is. They might have you read right the entire thing back to them, but they want you to verify the wiring instructions that you received.
Right. Yeah. Even if it doesn't say on the email to call, a lot of these title companies have already started putting on their call before you wire.
Yes.
But and if it doesn't say that, always call. It's very important that you make that phone call to the title company. If you can't find that phone number, give your agent a call and we will verify that numbers for you as well. Something you mentioned, the hacker came in and stole the title company's identity, basically. So it's identity theft as well as wire fraud.
Right. So something that you can look for on that is it's not going to be, you know, if the agent is Joe's Title Company, then, you know, the email address is going to be joe@joestitlecompany.com. But the email, when it comes into you, it's going to say, you know, from Joe. They're going to have the name, the hacker, the scammer is going to have the name set up. So it shows that person's name. But if you look at the actual email address, it's going to be, you know, hacker123@gmail.com, or they probably won't be that blunt about it, but it'll be, you know, it's going to be joestitlecompany@gmail.com instead of, you know, whatever at the proper domain.
Right, right. And a lot of people, hackers are getting, you know, smarter and smarter about it too. And they are, you know, basically cloning email addresses and doing it that way too. So just be careful of that. Always call and verify.
Absolutely.
It's very important that you do. I think that's our number one thing. When you get a wiring instruction, call. One of the title companies that I worked with on purpose did not put the last four digits of the account because it said call to verify. Another title company that I work with as well, they sent a secure email. If you didn't receive a secure email that you normally would from that title company, it's probably not legit.
Right. So I've seen that before too. Tell us a little bit about what a secure email might look like.
So basically, they put a link for a portal where you have to put your name and password or your username and password that the title company had set up for you or you set up with the title company. And in that secure email, it'll send you to a link, you put your information in there, and it'll be like a separate domain or separate access to an email or an important document you would be getting from the title company.
Perfect. Perfect. So what we're saying, basically, whether you're renting, whether you're buying, when it comes to transferring money, trust, but verify.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe trust, but verify, verify, verify.
I would like to mention a quick story of what happened to one of my early transactions with wiring fraud.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I was new to the industry. I had never heard of wire fraud as far as the title companies are concerned. I thought it was legitimate and whatnot. So the gentleman sent the money via the email and we got to the table. It was his final funds. It wasn't even the escrow deposit. It was his final funds to transfer. We got to the table and they said, "Hey, you want to write us a check real quick for the remaining amount that you owe?" And he's like, "I wired that yesterday." He's like, "You did?" So they went and checked it and verified it. We made him open his email and it was wiring fraud. So it was a large sum of money that had gone to somebody that it didn't. Luckily, the bank was able to trace it and get his money back. But that delayed us another 3 to 5 business days. It was 3 business days before he got that money back into his account. Good thing is banks are becoming more and more aware of this and they know wiring fraud is rampant everywhere. So they do a good job of doing their own investigation and pulling that money back and getting it back to you. Now a lot of people are doing this internationally. That could be an issue there where your bank may not be able to retrieve their money back because it's gone to the Cayman Islands somewhere. So yeah, just be very, very careful. Like you said, call and verify.
Ooh, yes. Yes. So trust, but verify, verify, and verify again. Yeah. Very important when you're sending large sums of money to make sure it gets to where you intended it to go to.
True.
All right. True. Well, not the most fun topic, but something that we felt was very important to share with you guys. So with that, we do want to hear about your move to Florida. We want to hear, you know, what questions you have about moving to Florida. Mo, why don't you tell them how they can get in touch with us?
We want to hear from you. What are your questions about moving to Florida? Just like Judson said, let us know. You can reach us on our Moving to Florida show hotline, like we mentioned on the top of our show, by dropping a voicemail or even a text message to 407-900-5859. That's 407-900-5859. Or drop us a direct message or DM on Facebook or Instagram at Moving to Florida Show. And for Twitter, our handle is at Moving to FL Show. If you would like to connect with us, if you have any questions, or if you need a realtor in Florida, you can always reach us at movingtofloridashow@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show if you like our content, so it would automatically download to your device and get you one step closer to moving to Florida.